fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The men's FIBA Basketball World Cup tips off Monday's show, and Monday's results from China. Tunisia topped Iran 79-67. Venezuela defeated Ivory Coast 87-71. Argentina beat Nigeria 94-81. Italy routed Angola 92-61. Serbia pounded the Philippines 126-67. Russia defeated South Korea 87-73. Spain beat Puerto Rico 73-63. And Poland defeated host China 79-76 in overtime. Tunisia's victory was the first by an African team in China. Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, is the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. Before the Basketball World Cup began, he said he believed that two African teams would advance to the quarterfinals. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
The five countries representing Africa at the FIBA Basketball World Cup in China are Angola, Cote d'Ivoire, Nigeria, Senegal, and Tunisia. Nigeria and Cote d'Ivoire are from the FIBA Africa Zone 3. Sam Amadou, a retired colonel, is the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. He says, though the African teams may not win the World Cup, he's optimistic that two teams from the continent will make it to the second round.
I cannot really say we will win the World Cup, but I believe that about two African teams can get to the last eight. And once they get to the last eight, it is a knockout. Anything can happen.
Amadou says the five African teams will meet tough opponents from Europe and the Americas at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. He says the teams should not see themselves as underdogs and play their best at the World Cup.
So the important thing is that let them go out there, play to their best, and they should not forget that they're also playing for qualification for the Olympic Games. So they need to fight for that spot so that Africa can be well represented at the Olympic Games coming up next year.
The FIBA Basketball World Cup runs from August 31st to September 15th. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos.
Hi, my name is Colonel Sam Amadou, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. I want to give a shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Egypt dominated the medal table at the 12th African Games, which ended over the weekend in Rabat, Morocco. Joining us with more details is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Egypt topped the final medal table after 15 days of action, winning a total of 273 medals, which include 102 gold medals, 98 silver, and 73 bronze medals. Coming in second position is Nigeria with 127 medals in total. This include 46 gold medals, 33 silver, and 48 bronze medals, while South Africa came third, having won 87 medals in total, comprising 36 gold, 26 silver, and 25 bronze medals. The All-African Games were held in four Moroccan cities, including Rabat, Casablanca, Al-Gadida, Sale, and Ben Salmane, featuring the participation of 52 African countries. The tournament is one of the qualifying tournaments for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. Sports journalist Deji Ogembo and Arfa Saiki both commended the organizers for an excellent Games.
The organization from Morocco, it was top-notch. I'll probably draw a level with any major competition, maybe the Olympics, if possible, because of the way they took cognizance of details. And they didn't just use a single city, which most times we see in most of these games, like Rabat. There were competitions in Sale, in other cities too, again, which it's key. And the organizing committee did a good job in making sure that the Games Village was proper and top-notch.
Africa, North Africa, South Africa, I mean, they give us probably the best compared to West, Central Africa. But then, you can't take anything away from Morocco. We didn't hear any complaints. Talking about qualification for 20, I'm not too comfortable using the African Games as qualification for the Olympics, because I know that some of these athletes might drop in form. I mean, so it doesn't give an opportunity for fresh legs or fresh athletes to come into it.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. On the final day of athletics action at the African Games, Gambia's Gina Bass upset defending champion Marie-Josée Talou of Ivory Coast in the women's 200 meters race. Bass clocked a new Gambian national record of 22.58 seconds. She was followed by Egypt's Bassant Hemida, who had a new personal best of 22.89 seconds, and Talou was third in 23 seconds even. I want to give Marie-Josée a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out, though. Talou did successfully defend her 100 meters Africa Games title in Rabat. In the men's 200 meters final in Rabat, Sidney Siame of Zambia had a winning time of 20.35 seconds. There was a Kenyan sweep of the medals in the men's 5,000 meters race, with Robert Kiprop standing tallest on the podium. Robert had a winning time of 13 minutes and 30.96 seconds. Meanwhile, 2015 world champion Julius Yego of Kenya won the men's javelin with a season's best throw of 87 meters, 73. In the men's high jump, South Africa's Empo Lynx took top honors, clearing 2 meters, 20. Some of Africa's biggest stars again made their presence felt in European club football over the weekend. Joining us once again with some of the highlights is Prince Nesta, who says he'll be kicking off with the Gunners of Arsenal. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Arsenal came from 2 goals down to earn a 2-2 draw with Tottenham Hotspur in a sizzling North London derby in the English Premier League. Christian Eriksen and Harry Kane look to have put Spurs in control at the Emirates Stadium, but Alexandre Lacazette and Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang struck back to earn a share of the points. The result leaves Arsenal 5th in the Premier League on 7 points from 4 matches, while Tottenham are 9th on 5 points. Liverpool regained their position at the top of the Premier League after cruising to a 3-0 victory over Burnley, thanks to goals from Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane and Roberto Firmino, while Trent Alexander-Arnold's cross took a deflection off Chris Wood before dropping into the net. Liverpool's win was a good response from the Reds after Manchester City briefly occupied top spot with a routine 4-0 win over Brighton. Kevin De Bruyne opened the scoring from close range with the Premier League's quickest goal of the season, just 68 seconds after kickoff, before Aguero finished off a free-flowing move to double the lead before halftime. Aguero's lovely curling finish made it 3 before Bernardo capped off the win by slotting home 20 seconds after coming off the bench. City have scored 14 goals in their first 4 matches of this campaign.
Prince, let's stay with the English Premier League. What bad outings for Manchester United and Chelsea.
That's right, Sonny. It seems like Chelsea are currently suffering from defensive issues as they have the second worst record in the Premier League after conceding 9 goals in the first 4 league games. Well, the Blues threw away a 2-goal lead at Stamford Bridge as Sheffield United battled to earn a late draw. English forward of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham had scored twice to have the Blues cruising at halftime, but French centre-back of Central African descent Kurt Zouma's late-on goal ensured a draw following Callum Robinson's strike in the first minute of the second half. The result put Sheffield, who finished second in the Championship last season, into 10th in the Premier League table, 1 place above Chelsea. Manchester United slipped up in the Premier League again on Saturday when they were held by Southampton to a 1-1 draw at St. Mary's. The Red Devils took the lead through Daniel James's brilliant early goal before Southampton leveled when Jannik Vestergaard slammed home a header before the hour mark. United sit on 5 points from their opening 4 games, 5 behind rivals Manchester City and 7 behind league leaders Liverpool.
Prince, let's go to France now. Any notable performances by African players in the French league?
Yes, indeed. PSG's Cameroon forward Eric-Maxime Choupo-Moting and Angel Di Maria were on target. The Parisians cruised to a 2-0 victory over Metz. The win sent the French champions to the top of Ligue 1 after 4 games. It's also worth noting that the French champions were without injured strikers Kylian Mbappe and Edinson Cavani and Barcelona target Neymar. 10-man Lyon dropped points for the second straight match as Silvino's side were held to a 1-1 draw at the Groupama Stadium by Bordeaux. Dutch footballer of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay fired the hosts into a 32nd-minute lead with a low left-footed strike after racing away from the visiting defence and has now scored 4 league goals in as many games this season. The dismissal of Thiago Mendes, a close-season signing from Lille, for a second yellow card changed the match, and Jimmy Briand equalised in the 67th minute after a goalmouth scramble. And Jay, hammered 6-0 by Lyon 2 weeks ago, coasted to their third win of the season with a 2-0 victory over Dijon to move up to third in the standings, level on points with leaders PSG.
Finally, Prince, let's go to Italy, where Lukaku had to endure some sickening and horrific racist chants to net the winning spot kick.
That's right, Sonny. Belgian striker of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku was subjected to racial abuse as he scored the penalty that earned his new club Inter Milan victory at Cagliari. The former Manchester United striker had monkey noises aimed at him as he stepped up to take the 72nd-minute spot kick that sealed Inter's 2-1 win in the Serie A clash. The baiting continued as Lukaku celebrated his goal, and the Belgian glared at the crowd from where the noises came in response. Inter boss Antonio Conte said he did not hear the abuse directed at Lukaku, but admitted work needs to be done to combat the issue in Italy. Sonny, this issue is currently under the spotlight in England also, where the likes of French star of Guinean descent Paul Pogba, Kurt Zouma and Marcus Rashford, among others, have actually been abused online. And in Spain, Gareth Bale twice came to Real Madrid's rescue to salvage a 2-2 draw at Villarreal, while Bissau Guinean wonderkid Ansu Fati scored his first Barcelona goal as the Spanish champions were denied victory by a late penalty in an eventful 2-2 draw at Osasuna. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. more European club football news. Liverpool's Dutch defender Virgil van Dijk is on a three-man shortlist with Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi for the Best Men's Player Award at the Best FIFA Football Awards 2019. The winner will be announced September 23rd in Milan, Italy. Van Dijk was recently named UEFA's Player of the Year. Meanwhile, Ronaldo and Messi have been rivals for this top FIFA award for more than a decade. Ronaldo won Italy's Serie A title in his debut season with Juventus, and he was also voted the league's most valuable player. Ronaldo also led Portugal to the inaugural UEFA Nations League title in June, while Lionel Messi lifted the Spanish La Liga trophy for a 10th time. England defender Lucy Bronze and Americans Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe, who both played on the Women's World Cup champion USA team this year, are the three finalists for the Best Women's Player Award. German manager Jurgen Klopp of Liverpool, Spanish tactician Pep Guardiola of Manchester City, and the Argentine Mauricio Pochettino of Tottenham Hotspur are the finalists for the Best FIFA Men's Coach. The Best FIFA Women's Coach has these three finalists: Jill Ellis, who led the USA to a fourth World Cup title in July, Serena Wiegman of the Dutch women's national team, and Phil Neville, the head coach of England's national women's team. Turning to tennis, my VOA colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with a U.S. Open update. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. It was a thrilling weekend of tennis, and I've got a lot to cover. So let's start with the women. On Saturday, defending champion Naomi Osaka ended the U.S. Open run of teen sensation Coco Gauff. But it was Osaka's show of compassion towards her opponent that has everyone talking. After her win, Osaka stepped aside to give Gauff an opportunity to thank her fans during her post-match on-court interview. Later, Osaka said the gesture was to remind Gauff her accomplishments far outweigh the loss.
I just thought about what I wanted her to feel leaving the court. Like, I wanted her to have her head high, not, like, walk off the court sad. I want her to, like, be aware that she's accomplished so much and she's still so young.
Well, Gauff still has a chance to claim a title. She's set to play a doubles match with American teenage partner Katie McNally on Monday. The two have yet to drop a set at this year's tournament. Meanwhile, Naomi Osaka is into the quarterfinals, where she will face Switzerland's Belinda Bencic also on Monday. Serena Williams is into the fourth round despite rolling her ankle during her match against Croatian Petra Martic. Serena received treatment on her ankle, and while she expects everything to be okay, she says she's keeping it under close watch.
Ankle, I don't know. I usually know if it's horrible early on. I had a really bad ankle sprain in January, so I was like, instantly, I'm like, no, this can't happen. I'm finally healthy. But I'll see tomorrow. So far, I'm good. You know, I've been managing it, so we'll see tomorrow.
The six times U.S. Open champion will test out that ankle in her quarterfinal match against China's Wang Qiang on Tuesday. On the men's side, a chronic shoulder injury got the better of defending champion Novak Djokovic on Sunday, and he was forced to retire from his match against 2016 U.S. Open champion Stan Wawrinka of Switzerland. Djokovic said his shoulder had been troubling him throughout the tournament, and he withdrew when he realized he wasn't playing at his best. Afterwards, Djokovic expressed his frustration that his U.S. Open title defense has come to an end.
It's no secret that I have, of course, desire and a goal to reach the most slams, you know, and reach Roger's record. But at the same time, it's a long road ahead, hopefully, for me. You know, I hope I can play for many more years. I'm planning to. I mean, I don't see an end behind the corner at all, you know, so. Now it's a matter of keeping my body and mind in shape, you know, and trying to still to peek at these kind of events that are majors and that are the most significant in our sport.
Djokovic said his shoulder will be evaluated, and he believes refraining from tennis will help speed his recovery. Meanwhile, Stan Wawrinka is through to the finals, where he will face Russian Daniil Medvedev, who is into a Grand Slam quarterfinal for the first time in his career. That match will be played on Tuesday. Roger Federer made a quick entry into the quarters after defeating Belgian David Goffin in straight sets. Federer has reached a Grand Slam quarterfinal for a record-extending 56th time, a goal he says he can cross off the list.
It's definitely very special to be playing for these records. You know, being in my 56th quarters now of a slam, it's definitely a nice feeling. That was obviously the initial goal here at this tournament, trying to make it so far. I think I use it at the right times for motivation, I guess.
Federer is on a quest for a sixth U.S. Open title and will next face Bulgarian Grigor Dimitrov on Tuesday. At every major tournament, tennis fans hope in anticipation that Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal will face off at some point, but that has never happened at the U.S. Open. Well, it's becoming more and more of a possibility. Rafa Nadal has cruised into the fourth round with his straight set win over South Korea's Young Chung. Nadal is now set to face Croatian Marin Cilic for a chance to advance to the quarterfinal round. And Nadal says despite his easy entry into the round of 16, he's always prepared to face a tough opponent.
The key is play well. That's simple. If I am playing well, I'm going to have hopefully my chances to return a couple of points and give me chances. I know against big servers like them, chances are not a lot. So you need to be ready to expect a very tough one.
Well, Nadal is no doubt hoping to play well against his next opponent that could place him on a collision course to finally take on Roger Federer at a U.S. Open tournament. Could this be the year? We will know very soon. So stay tuned, sports fans. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In auto racing, a 21-year-old driver from Monaco, Charles Leclerc, has won the first Formula One race of his career. Leclerc, behind the wheel of a Ferrari, just held off British star Lewis Hamilton Sunday to win the Belgian Grand Prix from the pole position. Now, Hamilton had powered his Mercedes to within 1 second of Leclerc on the final lap, but Leclerc held his nerve after his big victory. Leclerc dedicated it to French driver Antoine Hubert, who died Saturday following a crash during a F2 race held on the same track. And while he lost the race, Lewis Hamilton extended his lead in the world F1 standings because his Mercedes teammate Valtteri Bottas was third, finishing ahead of Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel. Hamilton now has 268 points, 65 more than Bottas. The 34-year-old Hamilton is revving towards his third consecutive F1 world title and sixth overall. Lewis Hamilton, definitely one of the great, great F1 drivers of the modern era. Finally, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the September 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09.05 and 20.05 UTC, right after the international news.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists at the University of Massachusetts Medical School are reporting success in research that may someday help people see things at night that now require the use of very expensive night vision goggles. After injecting a special type of material called upconversion nanoparticles into mice's eyes, the researchers found that the little rodents were able to see in the near-infrared light range. The scientists say the night vision nanoparticles converts low-energy photons from near-infrared light into higher-energy light mice and other mammals can see. They reported that the mice maintained their night vision abilities for at least 10 weeks after the injection. Before trying this on humans, the scientists want to improve the safety and sensitivity of the nanomaterials. The researchers presented their findings at a recent meeting of the American Chemical Society. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.